Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. You know, we are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on what network? The American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, December 20th, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net. Internationally, it's on YouTube and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. And, folks, I do want to thank everybody out there that listened to us all over the world. I'm not going to go into that tonight for time's sake, because in place of this, I just got to tell you all something really quick. Most of you expect my wife to be on tonight, but she'll be back with us, the next broadcast. We have a special program tonight. But also, folks, just remember, I just want you to, well, this is for my wife. I just want you to know that I'm very happy that on the 23rd, we will celebrate our 33rd anniversary. So I love you dearly as much, actually more than at first. Anyway, that's for my wife, folks. That's not really for you, but she'll listen. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest, and you all might just recognize him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that radio goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Please give everybody out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So, Father, please lift the veil from their eyes, ears, and heart. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, folks, he was just on with us last week, but he got a hold of me because he needed to talk, wanted to talk about something, and I agreed. That's Pastor Carl Gallup. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, a talk radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally. He's on TV. He's a radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents in the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 6 books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, and the Gods of Ground Zero. So, welcome back, Carl. Usually it's a month in between your visits.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Dan. I appreciate it. Listen, do we have a good connection?
Yeah, we sound great. You know, okay, anyway, I sound great. You just sound like just Carl.
No, you do sound great. No, the reason I asked that is because when your producer called me, I was up and running, and the next thing I know, on my end, everything just went dead, and so I quickly tried to reconnect, and I thought I was reconnected, but I just wanted to make certain. So, yes, here I am, and what an honor it is to be back with you, brother. I think we have some important business to do tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Just for the record, you know, Carl was just on, and like I say, Carl comes on try to be once a month, but you got back a hold of me with this email, and I was really pretty shocked about what you sent. So why don't you take people into that, and we'll see wherever we go with this.
Yeah, I will. Listen, This is concerning a teaching that is gaining ground in the, you know, among the believers, and of course it's all over the internet and YouTube and videos and websites are built to it, and there are churches that are really into it. It's another what I call an ism and a schism, you know, and they call it, and I'm going to call it, the rightly dividing movement. And of course we think of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to rightly divide the word of truth. So that's the movement. Now, did you happen to see, and in my addressing of it, I have not mentioned any names of people, although there are a couple of well-known names that have made some videos. This is not some little thing. I mean, it's all over the internet, and it's on YouTube, and several of the people that are into this movement have many, many, many tens of thousands of followers. And I've not mentioned any names, but did I send you, or did my office send you, a YouTube link so you could get an idea of what that was about? I can't remember if we sent that to you or not.
Yes, absolutely. And you get it with a little bit of a breakdown from you. And, you know,
yeah.
Truthfully, now listen, you know, because I'm, let's go with this. We think a little bit different, but, you know, I'm Messianic and behalf, which, you know, of course I use the Old Testament, but I use the New Testament. To me, both are completely intertwined. In fact, if you really, and I put it up on my pastor's page, a link just for it, come over here. Of all the places in the New Testament that are really just simply quotes from the Old Testament, you would probably be shocked. There wouldn't even be there wouldn't be a New Testament without all these quotes, because there's so massively many of them. And I was kind of shocked myself. Well, I knew it. I was astounded at how many there actually was. So, Carl, I'm glad you pointed out to me, because I'm going back to this. I'm so used to ignoring videos and different things that says that, you know, the Old Testament is irrelevant and blah, 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 because I'm Messianic in faith, and I'm just used to hearing that for so long. This, however, is dramatically different. That actually wipes out here's a quote, folks, that Carl sent me. It says, Genesis through Acts is not for us. Hebrews through Revelation is not for us. Only the teaching of Paul actually says, not the teachings of Yeshua. So that's pretty dramatic, Carl, and that's different than what I'm normally hearing. Back to you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your breakdown. And no, you're right. Listen, I appreciate what you said. The Old Testament, according to the Blue Letter Bible study program on the internet, it has a breakdown. The Old Testament is quoted 855 times in the New Testament. I mean, brother, think of that. 96 times in Matthew, 34 times in Mark, 58 times in Luke, 40 times in John. I'm not going to go through the whole thing.
Right.
86 times in the book of Hebrews, and get this. 249 times in the book of Revelation. Now you and I did talk about, I will use one name, and the reason is I don't want this to be about people. I want this to be about the topic, the doctrine,
right,
the Bible,
right.
the truth. But this guy was in international news. Of course, you remember Andy Stanley saying we need to disconnect from the Old Testament several months ago. And that went all around. And he claimed that, you know, he was misquoted. And, you know, and many other people then put the whole sermon up on the internet and said, no, it wasn't a misquote and it wasn't taken out of context. Well, anyway, this disconnecting from the Old Testament. Well, this rightly dividing movement is predicated upon a complete misinterpretation and misunderstanding of 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, and I'll get to that in a moment. But it's even heftier than what Andy Stanley said when he said we need to disconnect from the Old Testament, because as you just pointed out, this false teaching claims that not only do you disconnect from the Old Testament, but Genesis all the way through the Gospel of John and a part of Acts, this teaching says. And by the way, everything that I'm going to be quoting here about this comes straight from a video of a very popular teacher in this movement on YouTube. And I'm not going to call his name on your show. I don't get into that if we can. But so he says that Genesis through John and a part, the biggest part of Acts, he says, is not about us. It's not about Christians in 2018, 2019. And it's not about believers in Jesus. And then he goes on to say Hebrews through Revelation is not about us. So they don't just cut out the Old Testament and say just stick with the New Testament. What they say is nothing in the Bible is valuable to us except the books of Paul. And that's the crux of what they say. That's the foundation. And their reasoning is they're saying that the books of Paul are the only books that teach salvation by God's grace. Everything else is for the Jews alone, and it is salvation through keeping the laws, keeping the rituals, the sacraments, et cetera, of Old Testament days. And even Jesus, when his ministry was to the Jews, it was not to the Gentiles. And everything he says is for the Jews only. And I'm just, you know, I'm watching this video, and I was blown away. And by the way, for your audience, just want them to know, we're going to go a whole lot deeper into this in a moment. We'll do some word studies, and I'll give you some more quotes. We're going to examine the scriptures together. But as I was watching this, I was thinking, well, surely this is not a big deal. I mean, this is so outlandish. It's so far-fetched. I mean, it just assaulted my senses because I know the scriptures, and I'm not the all-knowing one, but I mean, I've spent, you know, almost 40 years in the scriptures, pouring up, preaching, teaching, writing, all over media, peer-reviewed, being challenged, having to tweak, digging in the Hebrew, digging in the Greek. So even though it doesn't make me nearly 100% correct about everything, it does mean that I'm pretty well studied. I know what I'm talking about. And this teaching of throwing out Genesis through the Gospels and Hebrews through the book of Revelation because it's not about us, it just blew me away. Well, anyway, brother, I got to doing a little research on this thing, and this teaching is really out there. And I mean, a lot of people are going by it. And I did another interview, I don't know, a week or so ago, with somebody, and I put their interview up on our YouTube channel. It's got thousands of hits, and we're getting comments pouring in saying, thank you for addressing this, Pastor Carl. I've been confused about this for a long time. In fact, some of them were writing and said, I went over to this teaching, and your teaching has helped me to come back to the true Word of God. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this has to be addressed because this is real. People are actually believing this stuff, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, absolutely I agree. And I can think of no better person to address this because you are well versed. I know by your books because, you know, your books just aren't New Testament books. And to me, you're what I call a mainstream preacher that I would like all mainstream preachers to be like. But my point is this, is that you're very well versed and you do the study. So it's really great for you to do this, let alone you have a big audience. But I just want to throw one thing out there and I'm going to let you continue.
Yeah.
I just want to give them this one thing. You know, folks, mind you, this person is throwing out all these things. Well, if he throws out all these things, then he ignores something that he says that you could use. And in 2 Timothy 3, we find, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and thou hast been assured, knowing of those of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus. Of course, this is Paul. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, or Yahweh, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, Carl, what you have here, as you well know, this is Paul pointing Timothy to the Holy Scriptures, which the Holy Scriptures have to be the Tanakh, the Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't been written back then.
No, that's correct. There were some New Testament documents floating around when Paul wrote that, probably the Gospels, but you're right, it wasn't canonized, and Paul spent most of his time in the synagogues proving from the scriptures that Jesus is Messiah. Well, what were the scriptures? Well, you just said it. The Tanakh, the Old Testament. So that's why so much of the New Testament is based upon the Old Testament, because the early Christians understood that it was all connected. The Old and New Testament are like a hand in the glove. The glove is the outline of what is to come. The hand inside of it brings life. It's the word that becomes flesh. And so the hand in the glove, the two go together. If you take the hand out, the glove is still useful, but it's not animated like it's supposed to be. If you use just the hand and take the glove away, then the hand is subject to all kinds of, you know, heat and cold and danger. And it is, so the glove, you know, completes the hand. And that's the illustration I use. The two go together just like that.
Amen. Absolutely, Carl. Well, yeah. Warren, I know you've got a lot to say, and I really want this, because I want my audience to hear this and to repeat it. Go on.
Well, thank you. And some of your audience, as I go through this, will say, well, I don't need to hear this. I know this. Well, yes, I pray you do. I hope that your senses are assaulted like mine were when I first heard this. Somebody sent me the link, and for a couple of days, I didn't even watch it. I was just so busy, and they said, you've got to see this. You've got to see this. And so when I finally watched it, I my jaw was on the table. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And they were saying it with such passion and such authority, as though, you know, this was, and they actually said this was kind of a new revelation, a new thing that now they understood. They had been walking in darkness and now they were in the light. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, brother, here's the thing. This whole thing is predicated upon this false interpretation of 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, let me read it from the King James, okay? Because this is, and I love the King James Version, and I'm going to read it from here because this is the one that most of us that are of any kind of age at all, we memorize this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, well, I've never questioned what that meant, even as a kid that memorized it. I got it. I mean, the context to me. Now, I will say that the meaning, that those English words, rightly dividing the word of truth, it's a little bit of an archaic way of saying that. We probably wouldn't say it that way today. We would say something more like, in our common speech, we would say something like, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, one who can accurately handle the word of truth, or one who puts the word of truth in its proper context, one who correctly teaches the word of truth, one who handles the word of truth with accuracy. In fact, I just read those statements I just made, those I read from some modern-day scholarly interpretations, I mean, English Standard Version, NIV, New American Standard Bible, Contemporary English Version, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm looking at this page. I'm looking right now at Bible Hub, and I put in the verse 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, and there are 24 scholarly translations, including King James, of course, and the New King James. And out of the 24, there are only 3. Now, these are highly acclaimed, internationally renowned scholarly translations that are used throughout the world, and there are only 3 that keep the more archaic translation of rightly dividing. All of the others use something more like correctly handling the word of truth, correctly teaching the word of truth, or properly handling the word of truth. So that's an amazing thing in and of itself. Now, but what they say is they take that older archaic, and there's nothing wrong with saying rightly dividing, because I get it. And anybody, I'm going to say this, I'm not trying to be disparaging, but anybody with any sense should get that, especially in the context of everything that comes before that verse and everything that comes after that verse. But anyway, so the problem is that they take that verse, rightly dividing, and they take that word dividing, and what they do is they translate it literally as in, we need to take the word of God that we have and divide it up, cut it into pieces, and basically they don't use these words, but what they say is you divide it and you throw away everything that doesn't apply to you. I mean, that's what they actually interpret the word dividing, rightly dividing, as literally taking scissors to it and cutting it and dividing it out and then only teaching and preaching and living that portion that seems to them to apply to us. Now, brother, that's dangerous. I mean, if you're going to start doing that, where does that end? Because when they say all you need is the gospel or the books of Paul, well, then what parts of Paul are you going to use? Because Paul condemns the Corinthian church for breaking into sects, S-E-C-T-S, for breaking into segments and denominations. Well, some say, I follow Jesus. Others say, I follow Apollos. Some say, I follow Paul. Did you get that, brother? Even Paul says, don't say you only follow me. and then that passage where Paul said that, he says, some say, I follow Jesus. Well, and then Paul goes on to say, yeah, we better all be following Jesus. Yet this movement literally says that Jesus is not the one that we learn how to live our lives from. It's Paul. And I promise you, they say this. And what they say, here's a quote. Here's a quote from that one video. And by the way, there are two guys on this video. One of them is a relatively new teacher in this, but he has a huge following already. The other one is an older teacher, a guy that's about your age and my age, brother, and he's with this younger man, and the two of them are together teaching this, and they literally say, the young man says this, and the older gentleman is amening while he says it. Here's what the young man says.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me break in. We're going to have to go to a break. We've got a break in 30 seconds, but we're going to come right back and talk about it. But amen. So, Carl, just tell them how to find you real quick. And for the record, folks, I will put a link to this up with to the video we're talking about with this later when it goes to podcast. Tell them where to find you. We'll go to break.
Okay, CarlGallups.com, myname.com, CarlGallups, CarlGallups.com.
Yeah, folks, it's Carl Gallups, not my name. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we'll talk a little bit about the Mission Church at the end of the program when I get done with Carl. We have Pastor Carl Gallus back on with us this week because he really wanted to talk about, and I do too, about this rightly dividing movement, which I have, and Carl, you're there with us, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I put the link, folks, during the break time, I put the link to this video that Carl's talking about over at our pastor's page at prophecyhour.com. You go over there, you see a guy praying, click it, and it'll take you right to the pastor's page, and there is a link to this video there so you can discern and see what we're talking about. And, okay, Carl, back to you. Great
thanks,
to have you.
Oh, thanks. No, I'm honored, brother. I'm honored to have this platform and to teach this with you to your audience and those that they will pass this on to. Let me just say to your audience about that video, one of the guys that's in there, I know him personally and have met him personally. We've talked personally several times, and it just really, you know, breaks my heart to see this and to hear this, but I have discovered, as I said, when I started researching it, that he's not the only one that's into this movement. It's huge, and our people need to hear it. But I right before we went to the break, I said that he actually says this, when basically it says you got to cut out everything, Genesis through John and parts of Acts, all of Hebrews through Revelation, cut all that out and only stick to the books of Paul. Well, then he goes on to say, he says, and this is almost a direct quote. I was typing it as he says it in the video, and you'll probably remember this. He says, Satan doesn't deny the gospel. He just changes it. Okay. Now, I agree with that. I mean, you know, sometimes he denies it, of course. But sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes listen. Satan believes that Jesus is the Christ. I mean, he knows. Satan believes that Jesus died on the cross. He was there. Satan believes Jesus rose from the dead. He was there. Satan believes the Bible is the Word of God. Okay, so he doesn't deny the gospel so much as he does change it. All right, so when he said that, he perverts it, he twists it. I get that. And then this speaker goes on to say something else that basically does what he just said Satan does. He changes the Word of God. He goes on to say that, yeah, and Satan says, yeah, go after what Jesus said. Why? Because going after what Jesus said doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work right now. Satan wants to keep people away from Paul, this teacher says. Oh my gosh, Paul would beat this guy up if he heard him saying that. You know, I mean, Paul spent so much time condemning the false teachers and the heresies and the divisions in the church, even those it's in the Bible. It's in one of the Corinthians. I can't remember which one right now, where I think it's the First Corinthians, where he says, you know, you've got to quit this division. As I just quoted a minute, some of you are saying I follow Apollos. Some are saying I follow this other one. Some say I follow Jesus. Some say I follow Paul. And that's what this movement does. So anyway, but let me move on and just continue to break this down. So they take that passage about rightly dividing the word of truth. They focus on the word dividing. And they say, well, what that means is it means to just cut pieces out, cut parts out, you know, basically throw it away. Don't pay any attention to that. That's not what it means. Your audience can look this up. It is Strong's 3718, Strong's reference number 3718 in the Greek, and it's orthotomeo. It's kind of a mouthful, but that's the word in the Greek, orthotomeo. And what it means, I'm going to read some excerpts from Strong's Concordance, and I'm going to read some excerpts from Thayer's Concordance. So from Strong's, orthotomeo, to cut a straight line, to cut it straight, and then it says meaning to handle correctly or to teach something rightly. Okay, so to cut a straight line is an archaic way. If I said to you, Brother Dan, now when you're teaching the Bible, you need to cut a straight line. Well, okay, that's cute. You know what I mean. Your audience knows what I mean. But that's not the way we would normally talk. I would say, you know what, Pastor Dan, you need to handle that word correctly. You need to teach that word in context. Okay, that's what cut a straight line means. That's what orthotomeo means. Now, in Thayer's Greek dictionary, it says the same thing, to cut straight, to cut a straight line, to proceed in straight paths, holding a straight course, it is equivalent meaning to do what is right, make straight and smooth, and handle something in the correct manner. Now, that's what it means. It doesn't mean to take a pair of scissors, cut the Bible up, and throw away the parts that you don't think apply to you. So rightly dividing movement, it just gets into heresy after heresy. I'll deal with some other stuff they say in there, Pastor Dan. Now, did you want to say something before I go further?
I'm just, you know what, the biggest thing that is getting me, folks, I want to tell the folks this. Folks, if you look, I know Carl, and I know a lot of you folks have been listening to him for a long time. That Carl got an audience that says, is Carl on this week? You know, yeah, he's going to be on next week. Okay, well, but here's the point. You know, I want the folks, listen to Carl's enthusiasm. Listen to his spirit. This has rightly vexed you, Carl, but it's vexed you in the spirit because you love the Word of God. And this does damage to the Word. It does damage to Yeshua, but this does grave damage to the body of Yeshua. And this is, we can't have this. This is not only is they dividing and cutting out the Word, you're cutting out a whole group of people back to you.
Well, no, brother, and it feeds on our fallen sin nature, because in our fallen sin nature that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, what is it that we want more than, well, not necessarily more than anything else, but what's something that we lust after? It is to know a secret that somebody else doesn't know, to think that we are better than other people because we have knowledge that they don't have. We can be like a god, little g, over the other people because we have eaten of the fruit of knowledge. And this is what this movement preys upon. It says, oh, look, we have found a new truth. We have found, and almost all heresies and cults begin this way. You know, we know something that nobody else knows. And then they focus in on a verse, and they say that, you know, we're going to divide the word out because it says right here, rightly divide. And so, you know, and then it goes crazy from there. You don't need to listen to Jesus. You need to listen only to Paul. And here's why they say, watch this. They say this in the video too. They say, if you remove the books of Paul from Romans to Philemon, those books, I think there are 11 or 12 of them there, something like 10 or 11, says if you remove the Paul, Romans to Philemon, they said, quote, there is no salvation by grace apart from the law. And Paul says, if you do this, there is no salvation. In other words, if you want salvation, and here's what he says. He says, if you want salvation and you want to go to heaven, then he pauses, he looks into the camera, and he says, read Paul. In other words, he's saying, not Jesus, not the Old Testament, not Hebrews through Revelation, not the Gospels, not the teaching of Jesus. If you want to go to heaven, if you want salvation, read Paul. All right, now, I'm going to stop and say, yes, Paul certainly tells us the way to heaven. He is an evangelist. Romans 10:9. If you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And on and on. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, and all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, Paul gives us the gospel. Ephesians 2:8-9. By faith are you saved through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. But yet we've been created unto good works, a workman, God's work. And so, yeah, if you want salvation and to understand the gospel and salvation by grace that God offers in Jesus Christ, surely read Paul. Of course. Now, in the meantime, but what they're saying, though, is, Brother Dan, this teaching is that that's all you read. You read nothing else but the books of Paul. And then immediately you would think, well, what about the gospels? What about Jesus? And he says that salvation is not found in the Gospels. What Jesus was saying was only for the Jews. Well, the first thing I was screaming at the video saying, so is there one gospel for the Jews and another gospel for the Gentiles? I mean, if Jesus was only speaking to the Jews and he didn't give them salvation by grace, then he led the Jews astray. Would Jesus lead the Jews astray? Of course not. I mean, this just, it's absolute craziness. So I think about John 3. That's where John 3:16 comes from. But before we even get to John 3:16, watch this, brother. You know this, and your audience knows this. What happens? Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night. Who's Nicodemus? Well, he's a teacher of the law. He's a Pharisee. Now, we find out later he's a pretty good guy, because at the end of it all, it apparently he and Joseph of Arimathea, they were both on the Sanhedrin Council. Apparently they became believers in Jesus Christ, or very close to it. They came to get his body when everybody else was hating Jesus on the Sanhedrin. But in John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says to him, good teacher. He says, we know you've come from God. So he gets right up. He doesn't call him Lord. He doesn't say, we know you're the Christ, but he says, we know that you are a good man. We know that you are a good teacher. We know that you have come from God because nobody else could say and do what you're saying. And Jesus stops him and he says, Nicodemus, no one will enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. Now, brother, in just that one sentence, that's the gospel. Now, Jesus goes further, but he says, you got to be born again. You're not going to get to heaven because you're a Pharisee. You're not going to get to heaven because you're keeping thousands of rituals and regulations that the Pharisees invented around the 611 or 614 laws that are in the Old Testament. Jesus said, no one, even you, Nicodemus, you will not get to heaven unless you're born again. Now watch this. Nicodemus didn't understand that. And Jesus said, you're a teacher of the Jews, and yet you don't understand this. And I think Jesus was kind of smiling when he said it. And Nicodemus says, how can a man go into his mother's womb the second time? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, what's born of flesh is flesh, but what's born of the spirit is spirit. And then he goes on to speak of like the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And I mean, there's the gospel again. Then John 3:16, so Nicodemus, for God so loved the world, not just the Jews. Who's Jesus talking to here? Just the Jews? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, not just the Jews, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he goes on to say, and those who have not believed are condemned already. He doesn't say anything about the Ten Commandments there. The only way you can be saved is keeping the Ten Commandments. The only way you can be saved is keeping all the traditions of the Pharisees. No, he tells Nicodemus, the gospel, Nicodemus, God loved the world. He gave his Son. And if you don't believe in the Son, you're condemned already, Nicodemus. So what does this movement do with that simple, profound understanding of the gospel? He says, if you want salvation, if you want heaven, you got to read Paul, because if you read Jesus, you won't find it. That's not for you. Oh, my gosh, brother. Anyway, I mean, I could go on and on with examples. I've got a whole bunch of them listed in front of me, but I know we're running out of time. But here's the one of the other teachings. Then he goes in this video to Galatians chapter 2, and he says something that just blows me away. He says this word, rightly dividing. He says, you know, Paul even divided himself from teachers. He even divided himself from Jesus's disciples. And then he names them Peter, James, and John. He said, if you'll go to Galatians chapter 2, he says, this whole understanding, and he means the rightly dividing movement, this whole understanding, he said, it pivots on Galatians 2. So he had my attention when he said that, because I'm thinking, okay, what's he going to say about Galatians 2? So he says, if you'll read that, you'll discover that Paul parts ways with Peter, James, and John. He divides himself, and he says, who were Peter, James, and John? He said, well, they were disciples of Jesus, and they were the pastors of the first church. And Paul divided himself from them, and he went one way, they went another. They preached to the Jews only, and Paul preached to the Gentiles. And he said, there's an example of what I'm talking about. And he says, then this older guy that was there, I can't remember his name, that was on the video with him, he was amening him. And I'm sitting there reading Galatians 2 while he's talking, and that's not what Galatians 2 says. In fact, brother, it says the exact opposite in a beautiful way, in much the same way that you and I and Brother Zev Perat, Messianic Rabbi from Israel, in much the same way we minister together, yet we often reach different people groups, but right. We preach the same gospel. Because the agreement that Peter, James, John, and Paul came to was this. Paul talks about how he went up to meet the elders of the church. He calls them the so-called leaders or elders, because I don't think anybody really had given them that title. They didn't wear badges. But he was just saying that I went up to see the three, the ones that were kind of the pastors of the church, Peter, James, and John. And he said, and I told him about the vision that God gave me and the anointing and the calling to take the gospel primarily to the Gentiles. And they agreed and said it was a good thing that I do this. And then he said that So that basically, I'm just paraphrasing now, but basically they parted ways with the understanding that Peter, James, and John would take the gospel to the world, but primarily to the Jewish brethren first. And then, of course, Peter's the one that goes to Cornelius's house, into the house of the Gentiles, leads all of them to the Lord, and then comes back to the church and explains to the elders in Acts chapter 11 why he did it, because they didn't understand. They couldn't believe he was talking to Gentiles. And then after he explained it, they said, oh, well, then God is saving Gentiles too. Yes, well, Peter got that. So did James. So did John eventually. So in Galatians 2, they're not parting ways. They're just coming to an agreement that Paul was going to represent the church universal as an evangelist primarily to the Gentiles. And they agreed. They said, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And they said, we will be an evangelist primarily to the Jews. Now, in that same book of Galatians, it talks about how Paul challenged Peter because Peter was having trouble with hypocrisy. In other words, he was kind of forcing the Gentiles, not forcing the Gentiles, but kind of pushing them towards being more like a Jew. And,
right.
And so Paul challenged him on that, and apparently Peter kind of backed away and repented. But the bottom line is, everywhere Paul went, he went first to the synagogue, and he proved from the scriptures, the Bible says, that Jesus is the Christ, from the Tanakh. So Paul ministered to the Jews, of course. Those were his people. He was a Pharisee. But he also understood that he had been given a specific calling from Jesus himself to go primarily to the Gentiles and to be a builder of churches throughout the Roman Empire. He did that. Now, Peter, James, and John primarily went to the Jews, but they also went to the Gentiles because they understood there was only one gospel. As a matter of fact, John, who would write the Gospel of John, and 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation, was the pastor at the church at Ephesus. Well, we know that the church at Ephesus had a lot of Gentiles in it. I mean, yeah. We know that from historical sources. So, you know, again, they twist and pervert the truth of the scripture. See, you can reach people that I can't reach, Brother Dan, Pastor Dan.
Right.
Zev Peratt reaches people that we can't reach. And why? Because he's living in Israel.
Right.
He's ministering to Jews in Israel. He goes into synagogues and witnesses to rabbis inside
right.
of synagogues. He's gone into a Muslim mosque and witnessed to an imam who later called him, met him, and gave his life to Jesus Christ. But Zev's not preaching another gospel.
Yeah.
You know, you are a messianic Christian yourself. You have a messianic congregation. You reach Jews and Gentiles with the whole word of God, the hand and the glove. You help them to understand how the Old Testament fills the New Testament and how the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament, and you reach people that other people can't reach.
I've got a question for you.
Yes.
Let's go with this. If we were going to throw out all these other things, you know, one of the predominant things we would be throwing out, of course, is the Torah. So why in the world, out of all of the disciples, would they go and get Paul? Because he knew Torah, basically, from his background better than any of them, did he not?
Oh,
so why would they have used Paul?
Yes. It's beyond me. Brother, look, I've got this chart in front of me. I won't go through all of it. Just listen to this. In the book of Romans, the Old Testament is quoted 74 times. 1 Corinthians, 41 times. 2 Corinthians, 13 times. Galatians is quoted 16 times. Ephesians, 11 times. Philippians, 3 times. Colossians, 3 times. 2 Thessalonians, 2 times. 1 Thessalonians, 2 times. Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, 10 times. Hebrews, I think Paul probably wrote Hebrews, but a lot of people say they didn't, but Hebrews, 86 times. So, you know, I mean, how can you say throw out the Old Testament? But Paul, in the book of Romans alone, quotes the Old Testament 76 times.
That was my opening point, so to speak. But, you know, here we have, now let's deal this down in another way. The danger of this, you know, we were warned about false prophets in our times. And you know, that's not people it's not the people I worry about saying, go worship this person or that person. It's the people that are actually supposed to be Christians that are inside the Christian movement that are doing this, that are twisting the gospel, and they X the gospel out of it, but they claim it's still a message of Christ. This is a dire time of the end. It's fine, is it not, Carl?
It really, really is. And you know from Matthew 24, when Jesus warns us specifically about that, and he talks about all the false teaching, the false prophets, the false Christs. And it's interesting because think of when he said that 2,000 years ago. And then he says, and people will say, he's out here in the desert. No, he's in here in the inner sanctums of the temple. No, he's in the city. No, he's here. He's there. Well, but look, brother, look where we're living. We're living in the internet age. We're living in the television age. We're living in satellite radio age. We're living in the podcast age. We're living in international transmission of radio and television age. Now the false prophets and the false teachings are everywhere. They're global, and they're 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can get on the internet, and you can discover that there are dozens of people, men, in the world, individual men who are claiming to be Jesus Christ. And they've got websites built, and they've got a following. Brother, they have followings all over the world of people who are worshiping them as Jesus. Now, that's what Jesus was talking about, right. And we're the first generation to see such a fulfillment of that.
We only got a little bit of time, but let me say this. This strikes a chord with just the other day at the Mission Church, this young lady was coming to him. We wasn't talking about this subject, but it was something that she pointed out. She said, well, Pastor Dan, it's true. I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Now, and she was serious. I about fell over, and it brought me to a realization. Wow. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I never really quite thought about it that way, because I thought most people go to YouTube realize that it's not all true, but in her heart of hearts, and she's a pretty smart girl, or so, you know, I'm not calling her dumb or anything, but she honestly said that. She said, well, I saw it on YouTube, so it's true. That's spooky. Well, Carl, tell them where they can find you, and I'm going to have to let you go. I got to put a little plug in for the church, but I appreciate you being on tonight.
Well, I hope it made sense. I thank you. You're very kind to allow me to do it. I love being on with you, and I knew that you and your audience would want to talk about all of this. You're a very gracious gentleman and a brother in the Lord. I love you, brother. And give your wife my regards for allowing us to use her airtime. My website is carlgallops.com. They can find me there, or they can go to Amazon and put my name in and ask for my author page. And that's the two best places to find me, carlgallops.com.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, brother. And I'm sure we'll talk again. You be blessed. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks. That was Pastor Carl Gallops. I'll put a link to what he was talking about it with this actual podcast so that you can see. And it's not that we're trying to pick on anybody. We're just actually showing, teaching the straight word, what it actually says. Anyway, folks, you know, it's December, and our donations go through the floor in December. We really do need your help. We need everything at the Mission Church, and some things need paid, but we just really, really need your help. So prayerfully, please consider a donation for radio airtime or helping the poor and homeless. We do really need your help. We need everything at the church, but we also have bills that haven't been paid this month because, like I say, December, it goes down, and I get that. People are either have celebrated Hanukkah and gave presents, or Christmas and about to give presents, and not everybody has the right kind of a big enough income to be able to do more than once. And so I get that. So I'm not condemnation over anybody, but pray about it. We really need your help. And, you know, we are, especially if we need to be a blessing to others during this time of year. And blessings start at home. Make sure that your family is covered first before you go above and beyond. Make sure your family's covered first, because that's where charity starts at, is within your own family and spreads out. Yes, we can do. You really use your help. So remember, all donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. You can donate online or over the telephone or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. We have to pay airtime, and we don't sell anything. Those commercials you heard aren't ours. So pray about it. We do need to pay for airtime also. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. And remember, there is only one God. And who is he? He's your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Amen. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.